It's time for the radio show about recreational boating, from the bow to the stern, from port to starboard, and from the bridge to the bilge. It's Bob's No Wake Zone radio show. So let's go down on the docks and see what's happening this week.
Coming to you from the number one recreational lake in America, as voted by 10 Best and USA Today. Readers, thank you very much. And thank you for being with us this morning. Hi there, and a good morning. Welcome into our first show of 2017. Man. Opening things up today, we're going to have Captain Matt Walls from the Water Patrol. He's the director. He'll be here to talk about some important things and a big meeting coming up in just a couple of weeks that you'll want to be aware of. Hannah Helmsby is the project manager for events at NASBLA, the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, and she'll be here in Section 2 to talk about Operation Drywater. And then we're going to spend some time on the Boat U.S. guest line with Peter Swanson. He's going to be talking to us about Trawler Fest coming up in Stuart, Florida, at the end of February, and some good conversation with Peter about trawlers and boating. We also are going to have some Around the Waterfront news for you today. The new year, of course, is here, and it's time to get started on that resolution, the one that you talked about spending more time with your family, maybe spending more time out on the water. Well, the best way to do that is get in touch with my friends at Marine Max at Lake of the Ozarks. They've got two locations. The Lake Ozark one at 3070 Bagnell Dam Boulevard. They've also got the store, which is located in Osage Beach, right across from the Premium Outlet Mall entrance. You can see our guys from Marine Max and gals at the Kansas City Boat and Sports Show, Bartle Hall, January 19 through 22. St. Louis Boat and Sports Show, America Center, January 26 through 29th. And at the Overland Park Boat Show, Overland Park Convention Center, January 26 through 29th. And then back out to St. Charles for the Convention Center show, March 9th through 12th. I'll be at all of those as well. We hope to see you there. If you want more information on MarineMax, you can just stop into their offices or look them up on the web, marinemax.com. And it's Eagle Days today at Lake of the Ozarks. Started about an hour or two ago, and it's going to go on until 5:30 this afternoon. Tomorrow from 10 to 4:30. Locations, the Bagnell Dam Access, Osage National Golf Resort, Wilmore Lodge, and up at the School of the Osage Heritage Elementary. For more information, Lake of the Ozarks, EagleDays.com. Big meeting coming up January 23rd here at Lake of the Ozarks. Talk about the shootout and the no wake zone issue. Captain Matt Walls is joining us in studio to talk about this and some other things going on. And a happy new year to you. It's nice to see you. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, you finally got a little help up there, didn't you?
I did. Lieutenant Mike Petlansky has been on with the patrol for a number of years. They named him as the assistant director of the Water Patrol Division as of September 1st. Mike has a background with the active duty United States Coast Guard. He was in the Coast Guard for 4 years back prior to his time with the Highway Patrol. Also, in the last few years, he joined our dive team, and he actually gets a lot of exposure to the marine duties by diving with the team as well.
Oh, very good. Well, I'm sure you're glad to have some help, particularly somebody like that that's got a lot of good experience.
Absolutely.
Let's look at the year 2016 gone by, and there were more boaters on the lake. Of course, lower gas prices helped and gave people more opportunities to get out and spend more time on the water. How did that affect the number of boating accidents and reported boating accidents that we had?
Well, I certainly did hear from officers that it seemed like traffic had increased during 2016. We did see our accidents go up. Our total accidents on Lake of the Ozarks went from 63 in 2015 to 86 in 2016. Total injuries went from 38 to 49. The fatals were down from 6 to 4 for 2016. So, you know, the statistics can be deceiving because you have different things that you're doing as an agency. For example, the last couple years we've been trying to promote or educate the public on what the reporting requirements are for boating accidents. Inadvertently, I think that has increased the number of boating accidents that have been reported to us because of that education that we're doing. If there's damage over $500, then you're required to report a boating accident. If there's an injury or, of course, a fatality, you're required to report it. We're always going to hear about the serious injury accidents and the fatality accidents because typically 911 is going to be called and you're going to have an ambulance going there anyway. So we're going to hear about those. The ones we don't hear about are those more minor injuries that, although it's not a significant injury, you are still required to report it if you seek medical treatment.
Well, give them a break, watch your wake. And some other educational materials were distributed during the year 2016 to help educate boaters. How'd we do?
Oh, there's a lot of work to do still, yeah. And people will tell you that. We haven't given up on trying to improve that issue. We will continue with it 2017 to try to continue to bring awareness to that. It's a work in progress, but we'll stay at it.
All right, very good. I know back in the fall, I sent you an email because somebody had mentioned to me that the no wake buoys and the no wake sign going into Party Cove were gone, and somebody thought, well, maybe somebody took them, but you responded with, no, we removed them.
We did revoke that permit. It was actually in the state parks name as far as who the permit was issued to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just the amount of traffic that's in Anderson Hollow Cove up there anymore does not warrant placing those buoys. Honestly, whenever we don't feel a buoy is necessary on the water, we try to remove it because it's one more object that people can run into at night. There was a sign out there as well with mm-hmm. those buoys, and if we don't feel buoys are necessary anymore, we typically do revoke the permit.
Of course, you still have to obey the 100-foot rule.
Sure. If you're within 100 feet of an anchored boat, you have to be at idle speed. And I think you get in those situations where you have a lot of anchored boats, people are more courteous typically, where they'll shut down before they enter that area.
Well, the 2017 shootout is next on our calendar of events. January 23rd, a meeting will be held to discuss the wake area, the no wake area after the shootout. Is that the primary reason for the meeting?
That's the main reason. It's a public informational meeting. There is no MoDOT out on the water. The Water Patrol Division pretty much does the regulation on boating traffic out on the water. So we felt the need to have a public informational meeting before we made any significant changes to the event to give those affected an opportunity to come in and provide input. You know, when I say those affected, I'm talking about local property owners, business owners, and the boating community. Mm-hmm. So it has become very rough as boats exit that event. So we're trying to improve those conditions, and, you know, we want to involve the public in that process.
All right. So January 23rd, that's a Monday evening, 6 o'clock. And where's this going to be?
At Church of Osage Hills.
Okay.
Here in Osage Beach.
On the West Parkway. All right. Very good. One more a little quick question for you, Captain. One, let's talk a little bit about, you know, the weather's been so darn nice. And, you know, I know we're going to probably get hit with something here, but it's been so nice. And even though the water temperature's getting down there below 50, there's still a lot of people out boating, taking that chance and going out. Some fishermen I've seen over the last few days. Any tips or hints that you want to remind anyone that is going to be going out to have?
You know, I had the opportunity to talk with my counterpart from Alaska when I go to a lot of the national meetings, and he's always quick to say that life jackets are so critical in cold water, and they, of course, they have cold water year-round mm-hmm. up there, but the reason is that, you know, it takes hypothermia about 30 minutes or so to set in, but prior to that, 5 to 15 minutes after you enter cold water, you start to lose the use of your arms and legs. It starts with your hands and feet and then works up to your arms and legs, and you start to lose that ability for those extremities to function. So if you're not wearing a life jacket, you're likely to drown long before hypothermia ever sets in. It's called cold water incapacitation.
Mm-hmm.
So having that life jacket on is critical in case you get stuck out there in the cold water and you have to survive until you get help.
A lot of times, if somebody doesn't know where you are, or if you're by yourself, then you've really got a problem.
You do. You don't. There's not as many Good Samaritans out there in the winter months that can help you. So you have to have a plan before you go out. It's just a poor idea to go out without a life jacket in the first place. And if you're out on the water a lot fishing, you know, if you have purchasing a dry suit or some type of float suit that will help you in that regard, you know, it's a good idea.
One last question that I didn't tell you I was going to ask you, but I will. For the 2017 summer season, are we going to expect a little more visibility on the water from the Water Patrol?
We are. The patrol is actually assigning 5 new officers out of the this recruit class to Lake of the Ozarks, and then they'll go through some road training, and they'll get proficient on the road just in time to enter our four-week Marine Academy this spring and then actually do their field training on the water this summer. So we're hoping that they will all be fully trained here by around July if everything works out. That help is always appreciated and will certainly help with that visibility issue that you mentioned.
Very good. Well, thank you as always, Captain Matt Walls, the Director of the Water Patrol Division. Always good seeing you. Thanks a lot for your info.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
We're on the hook on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. Let me take our first break. We'll be back with Hannah Helsby from the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators on News Talk KRMS, the information station, 1150 AM, 97.5 FM, 104.9 FM, live streaming audio too. Be right back.
This is Captain Scallywag of the pirate ship Calypso. There's much more Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show to come. So stick around.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.
It's the 1 hour No Wake Zone show for boaters everywhere. Good morning and welcome into the show. Coming up, if you're thinking about doing some long-range cruising, you'll want to learn about Trawler Fest. Peter Swanson will be here to talk to us about the show coming up in Stuart, Florida in just a few weeks. But next, Hannah Helmsley with the NASBLA organization, National Association of State Boating Law Administrators, will be here to talk about Operation Drywater and kind of what they do at that organization. But first, I want to tell you a little bit about Hydrohoist Boat Lifts and Hydrohoist of the Ozarks. It's Joanne Clark. She's right down there in Lynn Creek on Highway 54. And sorry this week, and they're busy. They've got a lot of work going on, and some people are trying to get some things done before the lake water level goes down. And some people are looking at maybe some new lifts and probably some new PWC lifts as well. They've got them. And if you're in the back of a cove and you need something shallow, they can help you there too. They've got those shallow water lifts, which are pretty effective. And their tanks now, of course, they come in that original blue color, but they also are available in black. So black or blue, it doesn't matter. They'll bring it to you. The folks at Hydrohoist Boat Lifts get Joanne Clark on the phone, 573-346-7505. They were away a little bit during the holidays, as most of us were, but they are back in action now. So if you've been thinking about it, get a hold of Joanne. Or email jclark@boatlift.com. Or you can just stop in on U.S. Highway 54, just kind of halfway between Osage Beach and Camdenton. Look them up on the website, too, boatlift.com. And you'll also be able to meet Joanne at the upcoming Overland Park Boat Show, the last part of January. We are back on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show, and today we're going to learn about NASBLA. We've heard that term before, and we're going to learn a little bit about Operation Drywater and how successful it was last year in 2016. And to do that, we're going to talk with Hannah Helmsley. She's the project manager for Operation Drywater at the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators. Good morning, Hannah. How are you?
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and Happy New Year. Probably not the first to tell you that. You have been very helpful over the years in getting John Fetterman and I together on these interviews to talk about Operation Drywater. So before we find out what NASBLA is, let's find out about Hannah. What's your background there at NASBLA?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I've been with NASVA since 2012, and a huge part of what I do with NASVA is working with the Operation Dry Water campaign, and I've done that since I started in 2012. And I have a little bit of a background in communications, which is a strong part of this campaign. And I'm also married to a law enforcement officer, so law enforcement is also a big part of my life. So all of that really goes well in working with this Operation Dry Water campaign. So on top of working with this campaign, I also work just with our planning our events for our members and just general communications for NASVA.
Now, tell our listeners kind of the structure, I guess you could say, of the National Association of State Boating Law Administrators. Tell us kind of how that all is set up.
Yes, long name. That's why we always say NASBLA. But we're a national nonprofit organization, and we represent the 56 states and territories, the recreational boating authorities in all of those states and territories. Those are our core members. And we just work with them, along with the Coast Guard and other recreational boating safety partners, to strengthen their ability, specifically the states and territories, to reduce deaths, injuries, and property damage associated with recreational boating, and to do what we can to help ensure a safe and secure, enjoyable boating environment for everybody.
Now, each state nominates or selects, or how is that representatives from the particular states end up being on, you know, as a member of NASBLA?
Sure. So the agency is our member, but each agency has a boating law administrator right there in our name. Each agency identifies a boating law administrator to represent them, and those boating law administrators, you know, they're our first contact. They are generally who contacts us and attends our events, kind of our point of contact when we are working with them to see what they need and what we can do for them.
Okay. All right. Well, let's talk now about Operation Dry Water. It's been going on for several years, and the statistics are kind of details, but let's go through and see kind of how we did in 2016.
Sure. So for anybody who's not familiar with Operation Dry Water, what it is, it's a year-round boating under the influence awareness and enforcement campaign. The awareness side, obviously law enforcement officers are enforcing year-round, but for the campaign purposes of the campaign, you know, we focus on awareness year-round, and that includes a lot of communication with people that we're participating with and with the recreational boating public, but also a heightened enforcement side of the campaign that focuses on targeting those that are impaired on the water, educating boaters on the water around the July 4th holiday. So the mission of our campaign is to reduce the number of drug and alcohol-related accidents and fatalities on the water nationwide. We are going into our ninth year. In 2016, we had over 500 agencies participate in the campaign. Since the beginning of the campaign in 2009, we've more than tripled the number of agencies that participate in this campaign. And like I mentioned, we have agencies that participate in every U.S. state and territory. So that's a great thing to know that this is taking place nationwide. And anybody that wants to help or be involved in it, there's somebody participating this in your state or territory.
Are the statistics over the 9 years, I know we've increased the number of agencies that have participated, and obviously the number of contacts with boaters. Is all of that showing a trend of less and less drug and alcohol abuse on the water? What's kind of the end result of it?
The best way to look at the national statistics outside of just our enforcement weekend, I can give you the statistics of those, but is to look at the Coast Guard accident statistics. And the most recent statistics we have available are from 2015, and we are seeing a positive improvement in alcohol and drug use on the water, as in it's going down. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, alcohol use is still the leading factor in fatal boating accidents, so it's still important that we continue what we're doing with this campaign, but we have seen a decrease. So since 2009, we've seen a 24% decrease in the number of deaths where alcohol use was a leading known contributing factor, and 16% decrease in the number of accidents where alcohol use was a contributing factor since 2009 when this campaign started.
Very, very good.
Well, I know we've seen a decrease here as well this past year, and, you know, hard to tell what it's exactly from, but maybe people are getting the message now, and they're really understanding how important it is not, you know, to designate a driver just like you do on the highway.
Right, absolutely. I think, you know, from the public's perspective, if the fact that it's illegal isn't going to stop you, you know, now we're really approaching the point where it's not cool anymore. You know, everybody wants to be safe on the water when they're enjoying time with their friends and family, and everybody wants to get home okay, and nobody wants to be involved in an accident, obviously on the road or on the water. People are understanding it's smart to either designate someone that is going to be in charge of your vessel, in charge of everybody on it, make sure everybody has a safe time, or just keep the, you know, alcohol off the boat until you get back to the back to shore.
In Operation Dry Water, part of that you mentioned was this educational part and a component where, you know, the officers would be stopping boaters during that 3-day weekend and providing them with some information and just doing a little, you know, a thumbnail sketch, I guess you could say, to make sure that they're not drinking and understand the consequences of that. What kind of numbers of contacts were there in this 3 days of 2016?
We saw over 130,000 boater contacts nationwide over the 3 days. So each one of those contacts, like you said, it's really important for us with this campaign to recognize that those aren't just officers stopping you, you know, making sure you're sober. Those are moments where you're interacting with an officer. If you need any education, you have any questions, you know, we all have that question you want to ask a law enforcement officer when you see him, like, what if?
Right.
What if this? What if that? These are all individual moments where you have the opportunity to interact with your local law enforcement, get any questions answered that you have need to have answered, and hopefully build a positive relationship with your local law enforcement. So on top of that, you know, they're not just checking to make sure that you're sober. They're also checking to make sure you're wearing your life jacket and answer any questions about that you have about maybe taking a boating safety class or anything like that.
Outstanding. Well, Hannah, thank you so much. I do appreciate it. Say hello to John for us, and thank
him
for his great service. And we thank NASBLA for continuing to do the Operation Dry Water, and that, of course, comes up the weekend leading into the 4th of July around the country. Hannah, thanks again so much. We do appreciate it, and we'll be talking to you or John coming up in probably May or June.
Absolutely. Thank you for everything you do and helping us spread the word. And we're always here, a fan of yours, and here to talk to you.
Thank you much. Give us the website if somebody would like to get more information about the organization or Operation Drywater.
OperationDrywater.org. Easiest place to go find more information about that. Or NASBLA.org, NASBLA.org, if you'd like to find more information about NASBLA.
I'm John Herlig. In Postcards from Sea, I tell stories of my travels aboard Ave Del Mar, my 1967 Rawson cutter. I deal with serious nautical issues like how to sail your mast into a tree on a canal, what kind of incense best covers the aroma of kimchi fermenting on your boat, or whether or not I can beat a leukemia patient at a video game. It's simply the story of my life, and my life happens to take place on a 50-year-old sailboat with no particular destination in mind. I hope you'll join me and some of the wonderful characters I meet as I travel for my show, Postcards from Sea, every other Monday here on Boat Radio.
Time goes forward, go and catch your jet, you will find your moment. Time goes forward, stay and have a sniff, let's dream about the future.
Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show is mobile. Download the free app at krmsradio.com. That way you can kind of listen wherever you might be. And we would thank you for that. We're going to learn about Trawler Fest coming up. Peter Swanson is going to be our guest coming up on the Boat U.S. guest line in just a moment. We'll find out what that's all about. Boat U.S. is celebrating their 50 years. They have been this past year, and it's going to carry a little bit over into 2017. But
Boy, what a great organization for anyone who is a boater, whether you're just a weekend boater with a trailer boat or somebody that's got a big cruiser or sailboat. By golly, this is a great organization to be involved in. They give you lots of opportunities to save money on things that you need, like insurance and life jackets and car rentals, boat graphics, boat financing, saving on hotels, a lot of those side benefits, along with a lot of great boating benefits as well, including the Boat US magazine and a great website, BoatUS.com. Join them today. It's only $24 a year. Add the unlimited freshwater towing right here at Lake of the Ozarks or anywhere around the country where you see the red towboat vessels. Give Charlie Meyer a call. He's the captain here at the lake, 573-216-4701. Or you can call Captain Dave Anderson. His number, 573-216-3890. Or go on my website, bobsnowakezone.com, and click the Boat US or the Towboat US logos for additional information and to sign up.
You're listening to Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show here on this Saturday morning, and today we're going to talk about a specific kind of boat and a specific kind of event, a boat show about trawlers. It's called Trawler Fest, and on the telephone to talk with us more about it, from down around Stuart, Florida, we've got Peter Swanson, the seminar manager for Passage Maker Magazine. Peter, good morning. It's nice to have you on the show.
Yeah, good morning.
Well, first, Trawler Fest is coming up in Stuart, Florida, February 28th through March 4th. We're going to talk a little bit about that, but first, before we do, let's learn a little bit about Peter. You've been around there a long time. Tell me about your history with Passage Maker.
Well, I've been writing for various boating magazines since I got out of the newspaper business 17 years ago. A few years back, I was hired to be the editor of Passage Maker magazine. As part of my job, I was also organizing the seminars for Trawler Fest, but it turned out that that's almost a job in itself. So what I did is I eventually, talked to my bosses, and I transitioned into kind of a full-time events person for the magazine group, not just Passage Maker, but our other marine titles as well.
All right. Now, the Trawler Fest, there's actually three of them that take place spread out during the year. We just missed the one back in September, October at Baybridge, Maryland. There's one in May at Bremerton, Washington, and that one is a new location for that show, right?
Yeah, we've been in Anacortes for about 10 years. Anacortes is a wonderful little seaside town in Washington State, and we loved it, but you need to mix it up a little bit. So we decided to move the event to Bremerton, which is a little closer to Seattle, which made it easier for the for the exhibitors, the guys bringing the boats in. They didn't have to go as far, and so we figured we'd try that location for a while, even though that we really didn't have any complaints about Anacortes.
Yeah, and being closer to the major metropolitan area might draw a few more people, and that would be helpful, I guess, for your exhibitors. Stuart, Florida is the one we want to focus on, and it's coming up February 28th through March the 4th, and it's an in-water boat show there at the Hutchinson Island Marriott Beach Resort and Marina, and these things are quite successful because of the targeting of this particular kind of boat. Maybe first, we have listeners that probably know what a trawler is, but maybe we have some that do not or not familiar with kind of what the trawler brand is all about. Can you kind of give us just a thumbnail on what a trawler is?
It's an interesting question because a trawler is a very imprecise definition of the boat. It's a cruising boat for people who are going to spend long periods of time on board. Sometimes they live aboard, sometimes they're on board for 6 months or less. But it's a boat with all the amenities of an RV. Some go fast, some go slow. A lot of the people attracted to the lifestyle are former sailboat owners who, for reasons of health or age, want something that's a little bit more manageable. Most of our people are over 55. I like to joke that the difference between a sailor and a trawler owner is second wife, first operation.
Oh, yeah, I get that. Oh, that's interesting.
So,
a certain type of a hull design that sort of, you know, makes the trawler because it is efficient. Most of them run on diesel power, and so they get long range out of these things as well, and people enjoy, you know, cruising on them. They're very comfortable. The ones I've seen and been on are just amazing.
If you want to think of a brand that kind of epitomizes the idea of a trawler, you'd look at the old Grand Banks, the Krogans, the Nordhavens. Those brands pretty much represent the trawler. But power cats are part of the niche as well. So that's what I'm saying. It's not a very precise definition. It's more in the mind of the person who owns the boat rather than the boat itself. If you want to use it for long-range cruising, you know, then you're part of the trawler lifestyle.
The boat show's coming up, and inside the boat show, being able to see all the boats and meet all the vendors and see all the accessories and that, there's a series of seminars, and this is kind of your expertise. Let's just sort of highlight a few, and you can kind of, you know, wet the whistle and let people know what's going to be going on if they are going to attend. One I highlighted here was Cruising the Intracoastal Waterway. Tell us a little bit about what people are going to learn there, and who's the speaker?
The speaker's Tom Hale, and he's a long-time boat guy. I mean, he was in the marina manager, and his family were marina managers, and he's gone up and down the Intracoastal Waterway here on the East Coast numerous times. In fact, he's delivering a boat as we speak. He just passed through St. Augustine, Florida, the other day, taking a boat south, and he'll talk about what kind of preparations you need to make if you've never done it before, what some of the highlights on the Intracoastal Waterway are for you, and some tricks about where to anchor and when to go outside into the Atlantic Ocean and when not to, and just giving everybody the benefit of all his years of experience running up and down the, what we call the ditch.
Now, a lot of us have had this dream of selling it all, the house and everything, and buying a boat and just start going. Seminar with a husband and wife team called How We Cruised for 8 Incredible Years. That seminar sounds interesting.
Yeah, those folks they purchased the Nordhaven, and they had their kids aboard, and so they managed to go all over the place. I've forgotten their exact all the territory they covered, but it's tens of thousands of sea miles, in the Pacific and the Atlantic Ocean, I believe. And so that's a new seminar for us. We like to pluck folks who've actually done it and bring them into the seminar series so they can share their experiences. It'll be quite unlike the Intracoastal Waterway one in that these folks did real blue water passages and went to foreign destinations.
Right. Well, you talk about that Intracoastal Waterway, and a lot of people are familiar with the Great Loop. And we've had Kim Rusko on the program before. Kim is very knowledgeable, and this is a great seminar, how to prepare and what to expect if you do the Great Loop.
You know, it's almost mandatory that we have a Great Loop seminar at every Trawler Fest except the one in Bremerton. And occasionally we've even presented it in the Washington event because it holds fascination for so many people, and there are actually ways that you can get your boat to the East Coast to do the Great Loop, but Kim she's director of the Great Loop Cruisers Association, and she usually brings in some of her gold loopers, and these are people who've done the loop more than once, and she brings them into the seminar, and so it's not just her, it's there's usually a handful of people presenting the seminar, so you get different points of view on the topic.
Well, and getting together with other people that have done it is a great way to learn some things and find out some of the tricks and places to stop and places to avoid and things like that. So I'm sure they get a lot out of that.
Peter, I'm going to need to hold you over. We are up on a break here. We're going to talk about guns and government. So if you're planning on doing some cruising and you're going to have a firearm on board, you'll want to listen to this particular seminar that's coming up at Trawler Fest. Thank you, Peter. Hang on just a moment. We'll be right back with you in our next section. Paradise Upholstery and Canvas is ready for 2017. They got a lot of jobs already booked that they booked last fall, and they're going to be awful busy over the winter months here, getting folks' boat covers and custom interiors, restorations they're going to be working on, some biminis and enclosures, I'm sure. Lots of work for the guys and gals at Paradise Upholstery and Canvas. If you need some work done in now, between now and the time you're ready to launch the boat, you'll need to get a hold of Paradise Pete. His number, 573-216-7214. You can also check him out on the website, paradiseupholstery.com. Find a link on my website, bobsnowakezone.com. And as they say, when duct tape just won't do, get a hold of Paradise Upholstery and Canvas. Break time. We'll be right back on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. Saturday morning in our new time period. Thank you for finding us, and we'll be right back on News Talk KRMS, 1150 AM, 97.5 and 104.9.
Earliest prehistory reveals mankind's innate connection to the sea. From boats of woven reed in Egypt to Homer's black ships of the Trojan War, down to the naval battles of Greece, Rome, and every civilization since. I'm Brandon Huebner, and I'll present the history, archaeology, and literature that connect us with our past on the sea, all that on the Maritime History Program. Join me as we voyage down through the ages and witness the development of sailing, trade, and much more. The Maritime History Program, with me, Brandon Huebner, every Wednesday, here on Boat Radio.
Back on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. You know, 2016 kind of went by, and last show I didn't get a chance to thank all of our sponsors for the year. We want to thank Boat US, Towboat US, Marine Max, Hydro Hoist, Dock Realty, and the Dock Lifeguard. Who's Your Captain? We want to thank Paradise Upholstery, Beavers at the Dam, the Ship Shape Company, Iguana Water Sports Rentals, the Shirt Shop, and the Pirate Ship Calypso. But I also want to thank you very much for tuning in every week, especially now in our new time period from 10 to 11 here on News Talk KRMS. Hey, we sort of left our conversation hanging with Peter Swanson from the Trawler Fest down in Stuart, Florida. And I know Peter's standing by on the Boat US guest line. Hang on there, Peter. We're going to be back with you in a minute. We're going to talk some more about some of the seminars that are coming up in late February, early March at this year's Trawler Fest down there. Someone who joined us late last year, and we're going to talk about just a little bit here, and that is Smart Postal Centers, Osage Beach. Smart signs and graphics, and they've got all kinds of packing and shipping and copying and printing and signs and banners and graphics. They do it all, and they do it very, very well. The radio stations use them for a lot of the materials that we do, and of course I do as well at Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. You see my banners at the shows. The banners come from Smart Postal Centers. Stop in and see them. They're right across the street from Bandanas on Osage Beach Parkway. Tim Gardner is the guy to talk to, or if he's not around, Jessica Thompson is also there. She does a lot of their graphics work, but she can answer most of your questions too. Smart Postal Centers, you can also find them online, smartpostalcenters.com. Trawler Fest is coming up at the end of February, 28th through March the 4th, and back on our Boat US guest line is Peter Swanson. Peter, there's lots of other seminars. How about getting at the most of your radar? Weather for cruisers, that would be an important one. Provisioning and pets aboard, that's obviously an interesting topic. Troubleshooting marine electronics, decision-making under duress, tips for handling emergencies at sea. And then the last one here that I wanted you to comment on is guns and government.
This is not we're not advocating or opposing folks carrying firearms in their boat. But because as you cross state lines and go from place to place in the Caribbean, the rules change. And this is a course that's kind of gives everyone an idea of what the rules are, things they need to be aware of so they don't, their mere possession of firearms does not get them in trouble. And for some places in the United States, Todd, who's the attorney, actually recommends that you ship your guns to the next state over, you know, to a licensed gun dealership, so that you're not passing through that jurisdiction armed, because you know, you can get into some trouble depending on what state you're in. And the same, I mean, the same in the Caribbean Basin. There are some places, for example, Mexico, where you just should not have a firearm on your boat, because you'll go to prison. So this kind of it just gives people the knowledge, if they're tending toward or determined to carry guns, this is something they need to, the information in this course is something they need to be aware of.
I was just thinking about the movie Captain Ron. He was talking about the Pirates of the Caribbean. And, I don't know if you've seen that movie, I'm sure, right?
Captain Ron, as far as I'm concerned, is a real person. I've met him several times. it may seem like a farcical comedy, but if you ever go to the Caribbean, you will find Captain Ron.
Yes, for sure. One of the other seminars, you know, boat, B-O-A-T, break out another 1,000, is the haul out and all the maintenance that needs to be done to keep a cruising boat going. And you've got a great seminar lined up for that as well.
Yeah, Steve Zimmerman is one of our great friends. And he owns 4 boatyards in Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina. He's been doing this for 40 years, and he's an honest guy, a great speaker. You know, he's got a good sense of humor, but he's seen it all, and he can break things down and make them very accessible to people as far as that seminar is concerned. That's a great seminar, and it's always well attended.
You've got dozens of seminars lined up for this upcoming boat show, the Thursday, starting on Tuesday, February 28th, running all the way through Saturday, March the 4th, the Trawler Fest in Stuart, Florida. Now, Peter, how does someone get some more information off the website or Facebook? Give us those addresses.
www.passagemaker.com will take you to the website, and there's a tab at the top of the page that will take you to the various Trawler Fest events. And that'll open up, and you can see just what the seminar lineup is and the schedule and other good information about hotels and things to do in the Stuart, Florida area.
All right, very good. And of course, tickets are pretty reasonable.
Yeah, you know, actually going to the boat show is reasonable. We charge, you know, $60 for two-hour seminars. You know, some seminars go for 4 hours, so it just doubles that. And our most expensive seminar is the diesel engine seminar, which goes for 2 days and is $500, but it's well worth it.
Absolutely. Well, Trawler Fest for Stuart, Florida, February 28th through March the 4th, and then there's the other two, one in May at Bremerton, Washington, the other one at Baybridge, Maryland, in September, October. You can check the website passagemaker.com for more information. Peter Swanson, thank you very much again. Sure appreciate it. Thanks so much, and best of luck with your 3 events coming up in 2017.
Well, thank you, too, and Happy New Year.
It's back, Kansas City. The Lake of the Ozarks Marine Dealers present the largest boat show in Kansas City. It's the Overland Park Boat Show, January 26th through the 29th. Boats, boating accessories, and big winter savings on all brands of personal watercraft, tritunes, runabouts, luxury yachts, and more. Thursday, January 26th through Sunday, January 29th. Register for a free $1,000 gas giveaway at the show. January 26th through the 29th. OverlandParkBoatShow.com.
Well, we hope you come see us at the Overland Park Boat Show, also the Kansas City Boat and Sports Show, which is the week before, and then we're going to be in St. Louis that last weekend of January as well. You'll hear more about that on 93.5 Rocks the Lake and right here on the radio program. Hey, next week, I don't know if you knew this or not, but there is a Gilligan's Island Fan Club, and we've talked to the president of this group a couple of times. It's been a while, so we're going to catch up and get some new information about what's going on with Gilligan's Island next week on the program. Well, I don't know what you were doing New Year's Day, but you know, we mentioned that barefoot skiing tournament out at Cheryl's Ford at the Lake Norman Marina took place on New Year's Day. Notes from John Gillette that Lake Norman Marina says that the rainy weather forecast didn't keep 28 barefoot skiers from Canada, New Jersey, Indiana, Florida, and North Carolina from making the trek to Lake Norman for the 39th annual New Year's Day Barefoot Tournament.
Occasional light rain or mist fell through the day, but the heavier rain waited until the contest was over. Pretty good deal. Let's see here. The event is recognized as one of the most unique barefoot tournaments in the country, combining points for the contestant's start method, tricks, and endurance. The tight circle pattern, rough water, and cold New Year's Day temperatures add to the challenge. I think the temperature there was 46. Water temperature probably a little cooler than that. But the competition was pretty good. The men's division first-time participant, John Cornish of Addison, Pennsylvania, set the pace at 278 points. Cornish, who is 65 years old, has been a key player in the sport of barefooting, serving as a coach on the U.S. barefoot team, president of the American Barefoot Club, and judge at the national world level and a high-level competitor himself. Obviously, he is. Another first-timer was Wayne King of Winnipeg, Canada. He finished a close second. Third place went to Mark Doherty of Cicero, Indiana. A faceplant award is also given for the most spectacular fall. Tournament judge and former women's world barefoot champion Rachel George Norman explained there were numerous spectacular falls, mostly the typical forward roll or cartwheel, but Jeff Kuz fell more reasonable with a unique diving flip, earning him the award. The World Barefoot Center, a barefoot award training school in Florida, donated a full day of training as the faceplant award. Well, it's good they have a lot of fun with that. Well, our eyes are in the skies, and our eyes are looking at the beautiful eagles around Lake of the Ozarks this weekend. It's Eagle Days. Already underway this morning, goes till 5:30 this afternoon. Tomorrow, from 10 until 4:30. School of the Osage, Heritage Elementary, a lot of things going on there. Wilmore Lodge, eagle viewing, of course. Bagnell Dam Access Area and the Osage National Golf Resort. There are sessions on the hour and off the hour at different places. You can pick up your website at lakeoftheozarkseagledays.com for some more information. Celebration 2 is also going to be going out today a couple of times, and again tomorrow once. For some eagle viewing. That's the Bagnell Dam location of Celebration 2. Again, the phone number 573-964-1008, or you can get on Lake of the Ozarks EagleDays.com. Whew! Thanks to everybody for joining us today on the show. Peter Swanson, Hannah Helmsley, and Captain Matt Walls, thanks all of you. And thank you for listening to us here on a Saturday morning on Bob's No Wake Zone Boating Radio Show. We'll see you next week, same time, same boat channel right here.
Our aim at Street Invest is to put a trustworthy adult into the lives of street children so that they can support them in creating the most positive paths for their lives in the future. We work around the world, working on the street with the children where they are. For such a large group of children, the amount of funding available is tiny. Really, the funding that keeps organisations like Street Invest going comes from individual donors. Street children are the most abused, neglected, violated children, yet they are also the most resourceful, responsive, and resilient children that we could have the honour of working with.
For more information or to make a donation, visit streetinvest.org.